Well, it's good to be back here with you guys this morning. It wasn't too bad of a drive, although I prayed the whole way, Lord, no fog, no fog, and just get me there. So this morning, I want to continue to give thanks for Thanksgiving, and it is the first Sunday of Advent. And I want to ask that you prepare this morning. We're going to go a little deeper into the word. I'm preaching from Exodus 20, which is the Ten Commandments. And I know a little bit different for Advent, but I want to take a little bit of a different spin on them as well. So before we go, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll go into reading of God's word from Exodus. Heavenly Father, it is the Sabbath day and the beginning of Advent. Help us this morning to prepare to listen to your word. Give us clarity of mind so there are no distractions, but that we can focus on you and your commandments that you have given. Lord God, we seek to be better in this walk, in this journey. We have the example before us of Jesus Christ, and that is what we desire to follow. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So listen for the word of God from Exodus 20, beginning in verse 1. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, nor in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son, your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, not your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For the 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or manservant, or maidservant, or his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpets and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So sometimes, you know, when you hear the Ten Commandments, a lot of different emotions kind of conjure up. I think one of the most common ones is maybe a little bit of guilt, maybe a little bit of combination of, man, I'm just not quite good enough to meet all of these. Maybe a little bit of fear. But our purpose this morning is not one of fear. Fear will keep you from sinning, but it will fade away as well. Our purpose is one of love and learning more about the Lord and why he gave us in an effort to draw us closer to him. So the first four of the Ten Commandments, commonly they're called the first table. It tells of our duty to God and our conduct before God. Now, in the scriptures, you heard that God reminds Israel of how he saved Israel out of Egypt. We see in the scriptures that God spoke these words. How cool would that be? He declared, though, who he is and what he did for Israel. The foundation that he set is pretty clear here. He has the right to tell us, and we have the obligation to obey. Now, I think most of us can agree what is right, what is wrong. Most cultures agree on the basics of morality. Murder is wrong and kindness is good. Yet in our modern world, it is said that 68% of Americans reject the concept of moral absolutes. Saying it kind of depends on the situation. You know, a little lie here, a little, it just kind of depends. So I want to look at these kind of commandments sort of individually, each one. The first one, logically, it comes from that foundation that God has set. We shall have no other gods before us. Now remember, in the ancient days of Israel, there was the temptation to worship lots of gods, gods of materialism, gods of financial success, romance. And we too are tempted to worship other gods. We just don't have these old-fashioned names for them. The idea here that the phrase says before me doesn't mean that other gods can line up after God, or that we just can't add God into our lives. He wants to be the total commitment of our lives. The second commandment refers to images. Now, the meaning behind this one is that God is of spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Paul reminds us in the scriptures of trying to make God into our image. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't have artistic purposes in this, but it forbids images as an aid to that worship. You must be careful with that. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Jesus taught this one in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. There is power in God's name, and we are not to use it in profanity or even in superficial ways. The fourth, which is my favorite, is remember the Sabbath day. We must care for our souls. A day of rest from worldly labor, a rest of service in the Lord, this day is blessed. Therefore, by keeping this command, as you have all done, we will be blessed. We will be blessed in it, through it. God created this pattern in Genesis at his time of creation. On the seventh day, he rested. Now, direction and blessing is not limited to the seventh day, but it is spoken of specifically on the Sabbath day. The laws of the second table, the last six, state our duty to ourselves and to one another. Honor your mother and father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord is giving you. We do this out of the principle of love. And I find this interesting because I know I can relate, and not everyone has, you know, a great relationship with their parents. I get that as well. I was fortunate that I did. And I remember growing up and thinking, you know, boy, if I don't get straightened up here, my dad, you know, a little bit of the fear factor. I honored him out of fear a little bit. And then as I grew older, I wanted him to be proud of me. So I worked at it from a different emotion. And then as I got older, and I lost him at a very young age, I wanted to honor him out of love. And that was the process. And I think that's what you will find with our your relationship with Father God as well. First, we come to him out of salvation thinking, oh gosh, I want to be in heaven. A little bit of fear there that they sometimes leads you to that place. And then as you learn more about the word and about him, you want to be better. You want Jesus to look down and say, good and faithful servant. And then as you get even older, you develop that relationship where you love Jesus above all other things. It's a gradual process. The sixth command, you shall not murder. Now, I'm not going to go in too much debate about this one because there is a distinction between to kill and to murder. But that's a whole different sermon in and of itself. The seventh command, you shall not commit adultery. God allows no justification for the ways that people sometimes often seek to justify extramarital sex. We see it in our country. We see it in our families. There is people who will say, you know, we didn't mean to fall in love. God led us to one another. My spouse doesn't understand me. Jesus explained that the heart of this command, even looking at one another in lust, is a sin. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we must honor that. We're not innocent just because we didn't get the opportunity to sin the way that we wanted to. No, we must honor one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. The eighth command, you shall not steal. Now, this one's pretty obvious, I think. But we cannot forget that stealing may also mean robbing from God by refusing to answer his call, by not giving of ourselves in obedience, in his service. I was a little surprised when I was studying this one, because again, thou shalt not steal seemed pretty, you know, pretty obvious to me. But then when I looked at it this way, a little bit different take. The ninth command, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Slander is one of the worst lies ever invented. To be guilty of slander ruins a reputation which may never be regained, and it causes lifelong suffering. There's a phrase which I had not heard of too much, and maybe most of you have. It's called tale bearing, which is repeating a report about a person without careful investigation. To repeat a story which brings discredit and dishonor to another person without making sure of the facts is breaking this command as well. And what do we know about inappropriate silence? When someone utters something false about another person and a third person is present who knows that the statement to be untrue, and yet for reasons of fear or being disliked, remains quiet, that person would also be somewhat guilty. And if we recall, it was this sin that sent Jesus to the cross. So unlike the first nine, which command focus on things, we do the 10th and the last commandment. They deal straight with the heart and its desire. The 10th commandment, you shall not covet. Hebrews 13:5 puts it very well. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Covet means to look upon an object and the mind admires it, the will go over it, and the body moves to possess it, to covet. So one of the questions that was asked of me was, are these 10 commandments for today? And absolutely, because they reflect that unchanging nature of God. Now, while none of us can keep all the commandments, we are called to be a separate people. The purpose of the law was not to give us a standard that we could achieve and then be counted as righteous before God, but it was given to show God's perfect standard and our need for a Savior, the only one who has fulfilled the law, and that's Jesus Christ. Here we are free from law's condemnation in order that we may be able to fulfill it by the power of Jesus Christ. That standard under grace is a little higher. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The law must be kept also in spirit and intent, not only just in letter form. It's not just here so that we can read it. All of this Jesus explained in Matthew 22. Jesus explained that all the law, including the Ten Commandments, can be fulfilled by loving God with everything that we are and loving our neighbor as ourselves. The key here is obedience. It is the love of God in our lives. The purpose of the command is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. I want to take this one step further, though, for us individually. As I was doing this study, I decided I would do this sort of simple self-assessment. I thought, you know, I'm sort of an okay person. So I thought, let's go through these commands and see kind of where, you know, where I come out here. Not a good idea, by the way, but anyway, I went ahead with it. And I thought, well, I don't have other gods before me. Or do I? You know, when I'm feeling down or I'm feeling bad, and you know, what's my go-to? Is it God or is it comfort food? Is it that Costco chocolate cake, which is a bit much, by the way, but you know, do I pray first? Or is that the last thing I do after I've tried everything else? Now, I don't have carved images. And then I thought about it. You know, I come from a Catholic background. And I love rosaries. I think they're beautiful. But I have to be careful how I use them and how I look at them in prayer, or even the cross, the Catholic, and I'm not bashing the Catholics by any means at all, but they have the Christ still on the cross. And I have a nephew who said, I'd given him a gift of the cross, and it was a Catholic one, and he said, I can't accept it because Christ is still on there, and he has risen. He's no longer there. Now, while I get that, for me, sometimes when I look at it, it's a reminder of what he did for me. So we have to be careful with images. Now, I keep the Sabbath for most part. I honored my father and mother while they were living. I haven't murdered yet. yeah. I certainly was faithful in my marriage when I was married. I haven't stolen. Maybe that pin from work in my purse. Not intentionally. But here comes the harder one. Bear false witness. Okay, now I'm taking a step back. How many times in that lunchroom have you kept silent? Or how many times have you jumped in on the gossip and shared information that maybe you weren't really sure about? It's really easy to get caught up in those conversations. That way, I didn't do quite so well there. Well, I haven't coveted, or have I? A couple of weekends ago, I visited a friend in Port Hadlock, which is over by Port Angeles, Port Townsend, all the ports over there. And she has this beach house that faces the whole Puget Sound. And her whole side of her house is all glass windows, so that all you see is the sound. You see it from her upscale jacuzzi tub that she has, from her sauna, and from this modern-day toilet. No kidding. When you open the sliding door, the toilet seat goes up, as if maybe you won't make it there in time or something. I don't know. And the first time I opened the door, I just kind of went, did that toilet seat go up? So I closed it again and did it again. Yeah, I did. And when you sit on it, guess what? It's heated. Oh my gosh. It's like, and of course it self-flushes, of course. And I don't know what else it does. It's got a whole little gadget on the side, like a security system that you can push these buttons. Her whole remodel of this home that she bought, which she bought online, by the way, while she was still living in her beach house on the East Coast. Does it sound like I'm coveting here? Does it? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I did, you know, it's just amazing to me when I go, and it's like a retreat. I had no idea the count on sheets until I slept on her bed. Oh my gosh, there is a difference, huge difference. So yeah, didn't do so well on the coveting at all. I didn't do so well on my whole self-assessment, period. I learned that I needed to be gracious and joyful that my friend is blessed with luxuries that she gladly shares with her family and her friends, bless her heart. I learned that I need to be more disciplined at work and not engage in those unhealthy discussions. And that while I may not steal or murder, you know, I still need a savior. And these Ten Commandments, I need them as rules to live by, to endeavor to work towards becoming more like the example that was set for me by Christ, who did keep them, all of them. I have no excuse. I only have the blood of Christ, by which I am free from the law, and that only by his mercy and his grace and his willingness to die for me and for you that we are even worthy. Advent time is a time for us to celebrate and remember and prepare. So my hope this morning is that we can look at these Ten Commandments in the Old Testament and still prepare our hearts for the birth of our Christ. Be ready for when he does return again. For that is why they are written for us. They may be in the Old Testament, but they are just as new today as they were then. And may we all hear God speak to them for us. In Jesus' name, amen.